quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and a backhand stop by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekman by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris Mason.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. The Nashville Predators are red freaking hot, and oh my goodness, how fun this team is to watch. The Predators take down John Hines and the Minnesota Wild at Bridgestone Arena 6-1 last night. Joining us now to break it all down is Chris Mason. C. Mace, this is the most fun I've had watching this Predators team all season long. 7-game winning streak since that monstrosity against the Dallas Stars just a couple of weeks ago. You've been in these locker rooms. I'm sure you've gone through these trials and tribulations and the peaks and the valleys of an 82-game season. What happens? What are the conversations that go on in the locker room? Maybe the kick in the butt that teams get to go from where the Predators were a couple weeks ago to now on a 7-game winning streak, finding themselves in a playoff spot.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's almost like, I think when we talked a couple weeks ago about that, it's, you know, D. Mace and everybody, we're kind of touching on the pinnacle moment when, you know, individually and as a team, you got to look in the mirror and say, all right, what are we doing here? You know, this is embarrassing. We embarrassed ourselves. We're not winning at home. We just got absolutely embarrassed in our own building. What are we going to do? Are we going to pack it in? And they're going to sell everybody off at the deadline, or we're going to try to stick it up everyone's butt and, you know, make a statement and show and play the way that we are capable of playing. We've worked too hard, you know, all year long. They've obviously had some ups and downs, but, they've really established an identity. And I think, you know, I look back at all the things that, you know, Trotsky had said in the offseason. We want to get back to the Predator way. We want to be hardworking. You know, we're bringing in winners, guys that have won before, so they can, help mentor our young players and, you know, get the right habits instilled in them as young players, so they can, you know, learn the right way. And then, you know, when the next generation of young players, you've got these guys that have learned from people that have won championships. Andrew Burnett, the way that he wants them to play, I think we're seeing, you know, all the things that he said. He's like, I want to get these guys to play fast. I want them to go. I want them to, you know, play with the puck as much as they can. And when they don't have it, get it back as quickly as they can so we can push and play offense. And, you know, they just had one of the best Februaries, I think the best February in franchise history, the best in the NHL. And, you know, they're scoring goals and they're just going, crazy right now. And it's fun. You just go, as a player, you go to the rink every single day and you know the game, you know, you're going to win. Like Juice is going to the rink now. Before it was like, oh, I got to play good and I can't let a bad goal in. And now he just shows up and he knows he's going to play good. And it's, as an athlete, that's the best feeling in the world. And I think you see 20 guys going on the ice every single night that can look each other in the eye and they know what they're going to get and what they're going to give. And you're seeing the results.
I'm sure they're having fun because I'm having a blast. I'm not even lacing up the skates. It's been so much fun to watch this team. Chris Mason is with us. C-Mace, Barry came out and said on our station and with several NHL insiders that as long as we're in a playoff spot, I don't expect to trade Juuse Saros. He said, I feel like I owe it to this team in the way that they've been playing, especially finding themselves in a playoff spot now. From a player perspective, hearing a general manager say that I feel like I owe it to this team to keep this team together, to kind of finish what they started, what does that mean to you?
I think it means a lot. I think as a player, you know, we obviously can talk about, you know, there's two different trains of thought here, maybe more, you know, what the fans want, what the organization's plan is. And as a player on that team, you're not thinking 10 years down the road. You're not thinking 5 years down the road. Some of these guys might not be playing in the league anymore. They've built something inside that locker room, and that's what they fight for every day, is to win that game. You know, as much as Andrew Burnett knows the long-term plan, he's preparing along with the rest of the coaching staff every single day to win that hockey game that's in front of him, and nothing else matters at that point. So he's trying to put the best lineup together. Finally, you know, he's got the four lines that are getting the job done. The goaltending's going. Everything's falling into place right now for this stretch anyway. But when you have that backing, especially in the most uncertain time of the season, could be you getting traded. It could be, you know, the guy sitting next to you. It could be, you know, your all-star goalie or whoever. And anything that happens is going to, you know, affect the team in a certain way. And, you know, I don't envy Trotz for the decisions he has to make, because they're tough decisions. But that's why they, you know, that's why David Poile hired him, because he's the man that he feels capable of doing this. And he's got to look at the team right now and say, you know what, I told you guys, if you guys will make my decisions or influence them. And right now they've, you know, they've put Barry in a very, you know, the difficult situation in terms of, you know, some of the moves. But at the same time, he's going to have to either get some contracts signed, and, you know, he's going to do what he has to do for the organization. But if I'm on that team, and especially if I'm Saros, you know, that's kind of a big, you know, exhale and a big relief. And it says a lot that, you know, Trotz is very cognizant of what the players are doing right now, and he respects that. And the communication, I think you guys would agree with Barry, has been excellent to the media and to the players. So I like hearing that. I would love hearing that too, if I was on that team.
We're talking with Chris Mason, discussing the big win last night by the Nashville Predators, 6-1 win versus the Wild, in great fashion, as they did six games prior to the victory last night. Now, Steve Mace, Caroline asked the question, is this sustainable? Is it sustainable? Not necessarily. I'm not saying they need to continue to another seven-game win streak, even though that would be great, and we would love it as fans and people that cover the team. But is this type of play sustainable?
It is sustainable, and I've been on teams like this. I had a run in St. Louis, I had a run in Nashville, where – you know, I guess around the league, you wouldn't consider this team a top tier team, and you get to the second half and you get this, what we're seeing right now every single night. Not going to win every game, you know, but they just scored six games in a row. The first goal, you know, they get scored on last night, didn't faze them, right back at it a minute and 8 seconds later, or whatever it was. You know, they just go back out and score, and then you talk to the guys in the intermission, like, oh, you know what, it's going to happen. We're going to get scored on. We just got to worry about our game and go out and keep playing the way that we've been playing. And they did that. And, you know, it's different when athletes and everybody, you always try to say the right things, but then it's the eye test. Did they go out and do what they say, or are they able to? Everybody knows what you have to do. And I think it's sustainable. I think they've got their lines. They've got the identity. They know their roles. And it's a point right now where everybody is doing what needs to be done. No one's trying to cheat out there. No one's trying to make extra plays. They're playing to win. And, you know, I think, obviously, I don't think they're going to win every game, and there's going to be some tough losses, and there's going to be, some more ups and downs. But I think the way that they are playing right now, which doesn't guarantee wins every night, but I think the way that they play is sustainable.
Now, as they continue to win, as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, we assume or we perceive it to be, you know, they may not be sellers. They may not be looking to move guys, but, you know, could they potentially be buyers without giving up a valuable piece that is helping them now?
Well, I think they could do it in a sense where I think Barry and, David as well, before, they put themselves in a good position where they've got a large amount of cap space where they could give somebody relief, maybe be a third party buyer type of a thing. You're taking a player that's maybe, one team wants to move out for nothing, to get them off the books to add someone else. I think that's an option. I really think that Barry's going to have to look at, you know, guys that are UFAs, that if they haven't signed contracts, to maybe try to get something of value for them, as much as he probably doesn't want to. If there's an offer there and, you know, contract terms can be agreed on, I think, you know, he has to look at some of those options. He's been very open about the process, and, it looks like the framework is in place with Novak. Who knows if, that's still, the deal's not done, right? Until we hear it and it gets announced, it's not done. So he's, the phone lines, I'm sure, are open for for everything and anything, but they could add. I just don't think they're going to, I don't think they'd give up anything of value to add somebody unless it was a player that could help with the future of this team. That's just my opinion.
Mace, I think case in point might be an interesting conundrum, right? If you're Barry Trotz, you might be thinking, hey, look, a veteran that I could put out there that's got some finishing skills, and I'm not sure who that would be around the league. Let's just throw out a guy that you played with back in the day, Vladimir Tarasenko, right? He's going to be a guy that gets talked about along those circles. Now, he'd be something you'd probably have to give up something to get, but somebody like him who could score, has a track record of scoring, as opposed to maybe bringing back up somebody like Tomasino or Parsonen or maybe even a Joachim Kimmel or somebody like that who hasn't been up yet. That would be the thing you would weigh, right? If you wanted to try to say, how do we get a little bit more finish?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I think they would look in that, you know, area. But again, it's a complicated thing, and I don't think you're going to give up a lot for Tarasenko. He's got a, you know, a big number. Is he only on a 1 year deal?
Yeah,
Ottawa's probably.
They signed him to a 1 year deal, but and I think it was, I don't know, $5 million, something like that. I'll double check this.
So that's not bad. But guys like that, and even guys on, you know, teams that are trying to make, you know, different kind of moves. If someone is trying to get a goalie and they have to move salary out, but somebody like that would be somebody I could see potentially. But again, I just, you know, I don't know. You look at Yakov Trenin, he's playing unbelievable right now. Who wouldn't want a guy like that to shore up their depth, you know, on their team in a playoff? He's that type of a player. You know, Alex Carrier is another guy that's been out there. It's going to be tough because I'm assuming and I'm guessing he's getting calls on all these, you know, players more and more because Nashville's been out there as one of those teams with, you know, some great guys. They've all got really good numbers in terms of their contracts. So that's even more, you know, appealing to somebody trying to add because the majority of teams, especially the contenders, almost all of them are dealing with salary cap issues. So it's hard to make trades. You just saw the one, you know, Dallas and Calgary, and then New Jersey had to get involved. They get a fourth round pick out of it. And all they did was they ate, you know, $2.5 million of salary because they had space. So they're able to, you know, to utilize their cap space and get assets. And, you know, that's something, you know, Barry Trotz as well has the option to do, but it's a lot goes into these things and it's complicated to make those kind of deals.
They're in a stage right now where everything's going in, right? Everybody's scoring. I think 16 different players have goals on this 7-game winning streak. If you wind it back to the section of the season before where they were struggling some, nothing was going in, right? So the truth is probably in the middle of what they really are. But one thing that I think probably is going a little under the radar is that night in and night out, they're not giving up as much as they did the last couple of years. And that's a credit to not just the defensemen, but the system as a whole. Would you agree? It's like last night, they did a really good job on Kirill Kaprizov's line. They got nothing. Those three guys, Boldy, Eriksson, Ek, Kaprizov, got no points. And that's been the line that's been really driving Minnesota's recent surge.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm 100% agree with that because I think, you know, all the goals, they're not going to probably be the top scoring team in the NHL in March. That's just, you know, that's just the reality. They had a great February. But the one thing that, again, will help them sustain this level of play is they're not giving up much. They're all playing defense. And I remember, if you guys remember too, there's been a lot of times, you know, fans are upset. Why is Tomasino not in? He's, you know, he's scoring goals. And why is Evangelista getting held out? You know, he's doing great. He's creating plays. Well, the reason why they weren't in the lineup at certain points was because Bruno didn't feel he could trust them defensively in certain situations. First two periods, you're fine. You're in a close game. You're in the third period. You want to be able to roll your four lines. You want to be able at any given point to have anyone on the ice and be able to trust them in that situation. You know, it's a difference of winning and losing a game is one play, right? So I think now we're in a situation where Andrew Brunette would be able to say he trusts everybody in that lineup right now in any given situation. And it's a process to get to that point, especially when you've got young players. But I think now the way that they're defending, even if they're not scoring as much, which they probably won't, never say never, but just, you know, the law of averages will probably come down in their goal scoring here, but they're able to defend. They're not giving up anything. Saros is playing unbelievable right now. Lankanen's been great. But they are defending hard in front of their goaltenders. They're letting them see pucks. They're clearing rebounds. They're making the right decisions. defensively first and foremost, and they're getting a lot of offense because of it. That's how they're getting the puck back, is because they have numbers back. They're structured. They're tough to play against. They're tough to create on the rush against right now, because their neutral zone is so tight. They're getting pucks back in the defensive zone, stopping plays, and then they attack. And that's exactly, you know, how Bruno wants his team to play, and they're doing it more effectively than they have all season long.
And I don't know what's going to happen with the Predators over the next 21-ish games, 21 games. But I'm enjoying the ride, C-Mace. This team has been so much fun to watch. Looking forward to see what happens, especially 1 week from today at the NHL trade deadline. Chris Mason, appreciate you for joining us, and we'll chat next week.
All right. Thank you, guys, as always.
Appreciate it. C-Mace, he is the very best. All right, we'll get into Ask D-Mace. A whole lot of Masons happening on the program today. Get into Ask D-Mace at 12:30. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. But coming up next, we'll get into your thoughts, your reaction to the Predators' 6-1 win last night over the Minnesota Wild, and also what Barry Trotz's approach should be at the trade deadline. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, tune into 94.9 The Fan this Sunday as Vanderbilt women's basketball takes on Georgia at home. Pre-game at 12:45 p.m., tip-off at 1, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.